everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 13. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I'm joined tonight by Matt Desend.
Hello, hello. Life is too crazy, Holly.
Absolutely. It's like 9:16 p.m. our time at the moment, and that's literally like the only time that we could get together and do this, so...
It is. It's all my fault. It's okay. I don't mind to take the blame. I have a very busy family life this weekend. I don't know why, but just all sorts of fun family activities.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah. We don't want to be, obviously you're not this way because you have a family, but, you know, gamers out there who are listening to the podcast, you got to have some balance in your life, so don't spend all your time playing games.
Very true.
Life lesson for you.
I'm the proof that you can be a gamer and a father all at the same time.
Yep. All right, so this is episode 13, and I'm really hoping that something unlucky does not happen to us tonight.
Why did you say that? You literally just cursed us.
Well, we'll hope for the best, even though I really ran my mouth off there a bit. Today we're going to be talking about our recent swag. Get this, we already have a name for our... pickups section of the podcast, and it's called Recent Swag. Thank you to Mike Fulham for that idea. I think it's a good name.
I think it is too. I'm digging this name of Recent Swag.
Yeah, because, you know, this is pickups, not necessarily all games, but anything gaming whatsoever can be included in this, and so that's a really good term for it. I was, you know, if nobody actually suggested anything, I was going to suggest something like Pretty Pickups or something silly like that.
Peaches pickups.
Oh my gosh. Princess Peaches pickups. Like the best alliteration you've ever heard.
That's terrible for a microphone.
Yes, I guess it is. But we have our super awesome recording equipment that makes it sound a little bit better. So today we're going to be talking about what we've been playing after our recent swag section. And then we're going to have a feature on physical games versus digital copies of games. So let's just jump right into it and talk about our recent swag. I got nothing physical over this past week. How about you, Matt?
I was able to track myself down two Nintendo DS carts, so I got two loose games. I'm pretty excited to add both of these to my collection. The first one is a classic by all means. It's a remake, and we're going to do a quick round of like five questions. I want you to try and guess one of the games that I got by asking me questions. You've played 20 questions before, correct?
I have. Yes.
Okay, so let's try this out. I want you to try to guess the name of the game based on questions that you ask me.
Okay, so two DS games, right?
Yeah, you only have to guess the one because the other one might be a little too obscure to try and guess, but you can try to guess both if you'd like.
Okay, so first question, is it a first-party Nintendo game?
One of them is a first-party Nintendo game.
Okay. Oh gosh, it has to be yes or no questions, correct?
Yes.
Darn it. Okay, let me think. Okay. Does it star, or does one of them star, oh my goodness, a male character?
In one of them, you can play as a male character.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for that. So it sounds like it's optional. Okay. Can I ask, like, okay, is the first-party Nintendo game the one that you expect me to be able to guess?
Yes, and that doesn't have to count towards your questions.
Okay. And is that the game in which you can play as a male?
You can play as a male, yeah.
Can you also play as a female?
You know, I'm having trouble remembering for sure if you can or can't. There's multiple playable characters. I guess I would say that they're all males in this game.
They, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
How many questions am I at right now?
I lost count.
Yeah, we'll just say we'll say four.
We'll say four, and we'll give you 10. We won't do all 20 just in case it runs long.
Oh, man, I'm horrible at this. Okay, the first-party Nintendo game, is it considered... Oh, goodness. I got nothing. I'm thinking. I got this. Okay, is it... a strategy game.
It is not a strategy game.
Okay, I was thinking Advance Wars. Wasn't there an Advance Wars on the DS?
There is two for the DS, Days of Ruin and Dual Strikes.
Okay, so not Advance Wars. Would you consider it a top-tier first-party Nintendo franchise?
This is, yes, top-tier.
Okay, jeez. It's Mario Kart DS, I got it.
It's not Mario Kart DS.
Darn it. Okay, they. Kirby?
It is not Kirby. You're at 8 questions.
Already, yeah, you're probably already. Okay. My goodness.
Two more questions, Holly.
I know, the pressure's really on.
Run down the information that you know. You know it's first party. You know it's top tier. You know you can play as multiple characters. And you know that it's a DS game.
Okay. Is it a platformer?
It is a platformer.
Okay, is it... Is this my last question? Like,
this is your last question. That you either get it or you don't, so guess a game.
Okay. New Super Mario Brothers.
It is not New Super Mario Brothers, but it is Super Mario 64 DS.
Oh, of course.
And now, I don't think
Isn't
you can
Peach
play as...
playable in that?
See, that's what I was trying to remember. I don't think she is. It's Mario, Luigi, Wario, and Yoshi.
Okay, if you say
so. I'm pretty sure. I could be completely wrong about that.
Okay, so now I'm really actually curious as to what the other game is that you got.
The other game is the physical version of Plants vs. Zombies for the DS.
Yeah, I never would have gotten that. I mean, obviously, as you can tell, I'm horrible at these games to begin with, so...
I'm not going to say horrible, but I'm not going to say you were good.
Yeah. I just... You put me under, like, the slightest bit of pressure, and I just, like, crumble, you know?
You know, sometimes pressure makes diamonds, but for you, it kind of sounds more like a pipe is bursting.
Yes, exactly. Perfect analogy. That's me.
But yes, I'm super happy to. Back in the day when the DS first came out, I did buy Super Mario 64. It was like one of the very first games I owned for it. Loved it. It was awesome. Sold it, you know, later in the time because I used to do all that kind of stuff. But I'm super happy to have it back in my collection. I wish I could have been able to find a boxed copy, you know, complete in box of this one. Sadly, I had the chance to get a super cheap $5 version of it for just a loose cart, and I was like, I'll pay $5 any day. For Super Mario 64. Any day I'll pay that much. And then Plants vs. Zombies, I actually already own the game digitally, but I think it's cool to have that cart in my collection as well. So I picked both of those games up this week.
All right. So obviously I didn't have any pickups. So let's move on to what we have been playing this week.
You need to get yourself some recent pickups for next week though, Holly.
I know, I'm trying. I may get an Amiibo this week. Maybe. Okay. Sorry.
That would count.
So as far as what we've been playing, anything interesting, Matt? Have you been continuing Xenoblade Chronicles 3D? That's my big question.
I have, and I've put another 2 hours into it. I'm all the way to colony number 6. I went through the cave that second time and tried to... I spent more time trying to fight this monster. It was like a slug monster. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I think it's probably a Yupa.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head for right now, but it's a slug, or it comes out of the ground when you walk up close to the area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those caterpillars.
Yes, that's what it was. Okay, so I kept thinking, because I was level 10 at this point, and it's a level 8, I'm like, I can totally take this thing, right? I spent so many times trying to beat this thing until finally I said, nope, never mind, just going to sneak past it.
Sounds like what do they call those? Oh my gosh, the name just slipped out of my head, like special monsters. Some of the monsters are kind of like boss monsters.
That's what it kind of felt like, because it's being surrounded by the same thing, just smaller versions of it. So I figured this was kind of like a almost like a mini boss type situation in a way.
Sort of, yeah.
But I'm still totally just, I'm in love with this game. I can't believe I never played it for the Wii. I'm at this weird point, so I've only put 4 hours into the game. There's a part of me that just says, you know what, Matt? Drop the $80+ or whatever you need to, buy the Wii version and just play it on the Wii. I'm pretty close to doing that right now.
Well, you can always, and this is a perfect time to plug Leap Trade again.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. You know, I haven't even checked it. That game on Leap Trade. I ought to do that.
Yeah, you never know what you might find. You never know what what sucker might give you that game for fairly cheap. So
I bet you if I find it on Leap Trade, it's going to definitely be the cost that it's going for. You know, not necessarily in a bad way, but the game has value, and I don't think that we should try, or I don't think that when games have a certain value, you should ever try to get less than what that value is. The problem is when games don't really have an inherent value and people just try to jack up the prices. I don't think it's necessarily worth $80 or $90 like it goes for on eBay. And I bet you if someone had it on Leap Trade, you'd probably get it for closer to $60, maybe a little bit more than that. But this game definitely has a value to it. And I want to make sure that people, if they're willing to part with this game, they understand that you should be able to get the value that it's worth, you know?
Yeah, that is true. Thinking like a scalper here.
Yeah, don't think like a scalper. But the nice thing about Leap Trade is hopefully I can find someone that has it and maybe is interested in trading.
Yeah, so another specific game that you have, maybe they want it for Xenoblade.
Exactly. So, that would be nice.
Yeah. As far as Leap Trade goes, I've actually put up... I put up Bravely Default, the Collector's Edition. And I was shocked at how quickly suddenly someone wanted it. I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, let's do this. So I'm getting ready to ship my copy, my collector's edition of Bravely Default off for some credit on Leap Trade, so that's actually pretty good. So as far as Xenoblade Chronicles 3D goes, though, you want my tip of the week?
I do. I've been waiting for it actually quite a bit because I have hit up every single side quest that I can do. And now as soon as someone's like, oh, I have something for you to do, I'm like, I gotta go over there. What can I do for you, guy? What can I do?
Okay, my tip of the week. Let me think what a good one would be at this point. I think pretty early on in the game, like, the equipment that your characters are equipped with is actually pretty important. So definitely don't, like, ignore that aspect of the game. Go in and try to change your characters. They have, like, head equipment and, like, chest equipment, leg equipment, feet equipment, hand equipment, and you want to have, like, a good combo of that. And you can sort the equipment when you go in to equip something by, like, physical defense or ether defense. Early on in the game, there aren't a lot of monsters that have, like, really powerful ether attacks.
Uh-huh.
So, usually you want to go with something that has high physical defense, especially with Rhine, because he's kind of the tank character.
Yeah, the tank. Yeah, I've noticed that a little bit.
So is that something that you kind of have already been doing, or is that somewhat helpful?
It is helpful. I have looked into it, especially the equipment part of it. Like, whenever I pick up, like, lots of equipment, I'll instantly go in there and I'll try to see, like, is this better than the other thing that I have, you know? And I always try to keep everybody up to date and as strong as possible. And I did run into an encounter where I was dying like 3 or 4 times, and I was like, I should be able to beat this thing that I'm fighting right now. And I went in, I switched up my gear a little bit, and then I was able to beat him, luckily.
Yeah. So, if that doesn't help, here's another thing. Have you gone into the art menu and, like, tried leveling up your arts with your art points yet?
So I went in there, but I didn't level anything up. I know I need to get in there and actually try to do that, because I think that might be where I'm kind of getting stuck right now.
Yeah. I cannot stress enough the importance of leveling up your arts. And just going into the art menu and, like, seeing what arts your characters have and trying to kind of, like, come up with kind of a strategy, a combo system, if you will, that can actually play into successfully, like, chaining together a good chain attack as well. Did you know about in chain attacks, like, if you chain together a lot of arts of the same color, they actually become more powerful that way?
I did not know that. Chain attacks, I'm still kind of having problems with. I'm trying to figure out the best way to execute them and how to execute them, like, properly, because I feel like I'm not doing something right, because I feels like whenever I want to try and do a chain account or attack, it doesn't work, but then all of a sudden it's like, do a chain attack, and I'm like, what? I don't even know I could.
Well, there is, you know what the party gauge is, right? There's like a gauge, I think, at the
top left, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to fill that up in order to start a chain attack, to initiate it. Plus, mm-hmm. when you start it, all of your characters have to be, like, ready to go. If there is a character who's not ready to go, then they're not actually going to be part of the chain attack, which can weaken it significantly. But another thing you can do with chain attacks is to use them to topple and then daze monsters. Do you know how that kind of, like, chain works?
Yes, I've done that a few times.
Yep, that's important as well. Other than that, that should be good for the week, I think. So
lots of good tips right there. I'll make sure to keep an eye on my equipment, leveling up my arts, and also I'm going to learn how to use the chain attack a little bit more efficiently.
Okay, sounds good. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Okay, so as far as what I've been playing, I have, and I put this on the notes and everything, I have not been playing Splatoon.
Yeah, I want to hear about how this third test fire went.
So, well, technically it was the fourth. There was three 1 hour. I actually keep referring to it as the third as well. I don't know why. It just feels like It's probably
you didn't wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to play the second one.
Yes, it probably is. I played two of the 3 hour test fires that we had, I think, 2 weekends ago, so that's probably explains that. So last time the test fire took place, we had 3 1-hour periods, of course, to play Splatoon online. I didn't have many problems at all. Like at the beginning, like I'd have to try a couple times to get in because it kept saying the server was too full or something like that. But you know, after a minute or two, I could get in easily enough, and then no problems whatsoever. The game runs like silky smooth online, so it's great. Today, however, there was the fourth round of the global test fire, and it kind of backfired.
Did it though? Yeah. See, I heard a lot of people complaining, and I would just like to kind of bring this opinion out that is not so much that it backfired, but it actually worked the way the first one was supposed to.
That would be a good way to describe it. You'd kind of expect the first one to have problems. The first one was fine. I was there. It's great. The third one, I think, was the next one that I was able to play on. Great. It worked fine. It was good. The fourth one, though, that took place today, the 23rd of May, my brother's birthday, in fact.
Random, well, happy birthday to him.
Yeah. Cool. I'm going to have to get him to listen to this episode. New fan right there. Anyway.
Right there.
So people had trouble, like, you know, probably 10, 15 minutes into the demo, I was pretty much kicked out and couldn't get in. And it's funny because I was having my sister learn how to play it, and I was going to have her do some online matches, but then it wouldn't let us in. So there was a lot of complaining about that. So apparently it happened to a lot of people. I think there were some people, probably a very small handful of people, who were able to get in and actually play it. But yeah, big problems. I don't know.
I think, I could be wrong, but I just feel like this was the way that it was originally supposed to work, and I think that it's a good thing that it was such a big burden this time around.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We kind of talked about it on Twitter. Like, Nintendo kind of needed something like this to happen to, you know, show them where things could go wrong.
And could you imagine if this would have happened the day it releases? Not good.
Exactly. People were complaining, even when, you know, this is a free demo. What do you expect? You do kind of expect it to work, especially after the first 3 hours of it worked. But yeah, if people, you know, like laid down $60 for this game and then suddenly, you know, like it's not letting you online, it's not letting you do anything online, there would have been a lot more complaining. I mean, there was a lot of complaining as it is, but there would have been even more if that were the case. So, kudos to Nintendo, honestly, for at least identifying the problem first.
Yep, and I hope that they learn from this. Here's a theory that I kind of kicked around in my head a little bit. I think for the first three test fires that they did, they actually had more servers than they needed, right? And then for this one, they said, okay, so we used this many servers. Let's just say 10. Okay. I mean, that's not quite how it works, obviously, but like, let's just say for the first three, they used 10 servers. They're like, okay, so we used 10 servers. We didn't need 10 servers. Let's cut that back to 6 servers and see what happens. And that's what they did. And they found out like, okay, turns out we need more than 6 servers. So I hope what they learn is that they need 8 servers or whatever the case may be. And they're able to actually really facilitate us on launch day, especially that launch weekend for Splatoon is the most important launch weekend. I honestly think this is a more important launch weekend online wise than Smash Brothers was.
I would definitely agree with that.
New IP, new type of gameplay. There's a lot of things that could backfire in Nintendo's faces. I mean, look at the internet. We're angry, annoyed people all the time. If we have a reason to attack someone and you know, throw fire at them, we will. And if Splatoon fails and bursts into flames, it's going to be just enough ammo that people need on the outside that are already, you know, like, that are, you know, not fans of Nintendo to be like, why would I want to use that console if they can't even get their stuff together?
Yep, exactly.
This
so,
is a
yeah.
very important weekend.
Yeah, it was called a test fire for a reason. I think most people kind of thought like, oh yeah, I get a chance to play Splatoon. And I think that's what Nintendo intended. But at the same time, they also intended to possibly identify any problems that they could address before they even became big problems. So.
Yep. And I hope they did. And I believe that they did. Like, I have a pretty good I have a pretty good faith in Nintendo that they isolated the problem, figured out, you know, the problem, and it's going to be a much better experience now because of it.
Yep, totally agreed. So, let's talk a little bit about physical copies of games versus digital copies. We started this recent swag segment of the podcast last week, of course, and it kind of got me thinking about, like, physical versus digital games, because last week I could have mentioned, and I think I did actually, I snuck it in there, that I actually did get a game, but it wasn't physical, so it didn't really count in the recent swag section. So
yes, I think that we should try to keep that as physical centric as possible.
But the question is, are physical discs and carts and things like that, are they going to become obsolete, like totally 100% obsolete at some future time? And how long is it going to take for that to happen? Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't even think it's a small likelihood, because of middle of America. This is a big reason why the Xbox One had to kind of change its messaging a lot, because, you know, they were the first always on the internet console, and they had to change their messaging because there's a large amount of Americans, especially in the middle of America, that don't have broadband internet access and don't have the ability to download a 10 to sometimes 50 gigabyte game. We're talking not like hours. We're not even talking about days. We're talking about a week of downloading a game. There's no possibility until our internet speeds across the board allow us to download a gig in a minute. We're not going to see a digital future anytime soon. Is it a possibility? It's always a possibility, but the fact that, like, records, you know, vinyl records, 45s, LPs, like, the fact that people still collect those shows you that people like physical media, and there's new vinyl records being produced today just for the hardcore collectors. So I don't see physical going away, like, completely, but I do see digital taking over to a small extent.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with all of that. Like, yeah, it may happen, but it might not even be in my lifetime, so.
I doubt it would be able to. Here's something I'd like you and I'd like the listeners to consider, and I would like to hear their opinions on it especially. This has been brought to my attention multiple times. When you buy a game digitally, you're not buying the game. You're buying a license to use the game. Now, a lot of people can argue that when you you can even say that when you buy a disc, you're not buying the game. You're buying a license of that game on that disc that you're then going to use. And I know that sounds like a bunch of, like, legal mumbo jumble, right? Like, that sounds ridiculous. But this recently happened with the game called PT on the PlayStation 4. Did you hear about this?
I have not heard about this.
So there was a game. It was a demo. It was a free demo, mind you. And it was released on the PlayStation 4, PlayStation Network, last year during E3. So we're talking about a year ago. It was released. It was by Konami, and it was to hype up a game that Guillermo del Toro was going to make. He was going to make a new Silent Hill game. And they used this demo called PT, which stood for Playable Teaser, to kind of act as an introduction to their Silent Hill game. Recently, Konami decided that they don't really want to make console video games anymore, and they're going to step away from that. One of the things they did is they canceled the new Silent Hill game that was in production. And because they canceled it, they also removed PT from the PlayStation Network store. So even though I downloaded it, it's on my PlayStation 4, if I was to delete it for any reason, I would be unable to ever download it again. Now you may be thinking, oh, that's just a demo. Big deal. It was free. This is the same concept that can happen with something you pay for. Let's say, this may sound crazy, let's say Capcom, right? Capcom has lots of digital games that you can buy today and tomorrow and whenever you want to. Let's say for whatever reason they get bought by some bizarre conglomerate and they don't want to have anything to do with video games at all. They could pull all of the licenses from the different networks, you know, Nintendo's network, PSN, Xbox Live, they could pull all of their games off of it. And, you would keep it if you had it downloaded, but if you don't have it downloaded, you would lose it.
And it's kind of like the Donkey Kong Country games on the Wii Shop channel. They pulled those, and then when I transferred my Wii data over to Wii U, I had to re-download all of my Wii Virtual Console games and WiiWare games, and I couldn't get the Donkey Kong Countries, not until they re-released them on the Wii U, and even then I had to pay like $1.50 for each of them.
Yeah, but that's Nintendo's weird thing they're doing to upgrade their game so you can have it on the Wii U. But if it gets pulled,
still ludicrous.
If it gets pulled, it's gone. I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's gone. That's the nice thing about having physical media, is one, you can buy it used. They still have not created a very good used system when it comes to digital media, and they haven't created a good buying system for like users to use. I mean, we love to play games. I love to play games. You love to play games. Eventually, we get bored of some games, and we want to sell some games. Holly, imagine if you would have bought Bravely Default digitally. Now it's just stuck there forever. You can't sell it. You can't get rid of it. It will always be yours, and it'll have no monetary value ever.
Yep, but at the same time, digital games are, of course, really convenient and sometimes really appealing. Like, I actually ended up... Nintendo was real sneaky with this, but I pre-ordered a physical copy of Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U, and then Nintendo announced, like, oh yeah, you can pre-download the game and, like, play it when it comes out.
That's cool.
Yeah, I fell for that hook, line, and sinker, and now I have a physical copy of Super Smash Bros. And a digital copy of Super Smash Bros. And I actually find that the digital copy, even though, like, obviously you can't sell it back, no more monetary value, like you mentioned, and also... sorry, I just completely lost. There's one other thing with digital copies that's a little bit irritating.
Oh, that's irritating?
Yeah, you can't sell them back.
Is it that they take up space digitally?
Exactly.
Eventually you run out of storage.
Yeah, you have to pay for that space. I had to pay, I don't even know how much money, for my little external hard drive for my Wii U. And so you're paying that extra money as well. But at the same time, it's so darn convenient. I have not touched my physical Super Smash Bros. Disc in months, literally.
Well, you have no need to, because it's just sitting right there already. You know, there are certain games that benefit from being a digital-only experience, and that's why I would prefer them to make a game digital-only, because then I never have the need myself personally, you know, my buying habits. I would never have the need to go out and buy a game if it was only available digitally. Games like Animal Crossing, much better idea to buy it digitally. Much better idea. Games like Wii Fit, such a better digital game. Those are the type of games you should never take out of your console. And when you download it digitally, you essentially never take it out of your console. You can play it anytime without ever changing whatever game disc is inside of it, which is one of the reasons, one of the few reasons why I do absolutely love digital, is that I don't have to worry about trading carts. That's nice. You don't have to change discs. All you have to do, click on what you want to play.
So the pre-purchase and pre-download option is available for Splatoon.
Don't tempt me, Holly.
Don't tempt me. Jeez, I've been Nintendo. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. There's even like a little extra costume or a little extra piece of gear or something that.
They're getting into the scary part of pre-orders. I mean, that's a dangerous road for Nintendo to walk down. I mean, here's the thing that is also a big debated left to right, you know, idea about physical and digital is the cost. I mean, if you're gonna charge me $60 if I buy it digitally, why wouldn't I want to just buy it physically? Like, there's nothing you're saving besides the convenience, obviously. At the same time, it's convenient to just put it in your system and play it and not have to download it. I mean, there's a lot of other conveniences. Until all the companies can figure out a way to benefit the consumer by buying it digitally, you know, monetarily, I just don't see digital ever really holding a lot of ground with these bigger releases.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I'm pretty traditional in that I try to get things physically. if I possibly can. When Fire Emblem Awakening came out, that game was strangely in short supply as far as physical copies go. So I was getting a little bit frustrated the day that came out because I couldn't find it anywhere. And then suddenly it, like, just popped into my head. Like, I could get this digitally. I think that's the first, like, full retail game that they did release physically that I got digitally instead.
It's the only physical, or not physical, but a retail game that came out originally as a retail game and then went digital that I have on my 3DS is the Bit Trip Saga games.
Which it probably doesn't even take up that much space anyway.
It doesn't, but they had it on sale for $5 digitally.
Ooh.
So I had to buy that, right?
But that's
the only reason why I bought it, and I'm still looking for it on a physical copy because buying it at $5 gives me the ability to find it for $30 and buy it, you know, physical so I can have it in my collection, but then play the digital version of it.
Yeah, I actually, I've done this way too many times at this point, even though I've only done it a small handful of times, but also Code of Princess I got because that, I got it digitally, that is, because there was a discount on it. So, sneaky, sneaky developers, including Nintendo.
When things are cheap enough, I definitely have the urge to go ahead and purchase a digital game when the price warrants it to be so valuable.
Well, that pretty much I think we have.
I think we've hit most of the points about it. Yeah, I'd agree. I definitely want to hear from the listeners though, especially I want to know what it would take. Like, okay, so one. Let's say you buy the majority of your things digitally. You know, you fit in this category. You've already made the switch. Now you buy everything that you purchase digitally. Awesome. What would make it so that you would go back to buying things physically? And do you ever regret buying some of the things that you buy digitally? And then the other way around, physical people like myself, is there anything that could ever make you turn around and buy things digitally only? And do you ever regret the amount of time or money or whatever the case may be to buy something physically? Because physical games do cost more than digital games sometimes. Point and case, Sudokin 2, the game that we were talking about, $150 for me to go buy that thing physically. I could buy it right now on the PSN, as one of our wonderful listeners also pointed out. I could go and buy that on the PSN right now for a much cheaper cost. But me wanting to own the game physically is much more inclined to just save up the money and go and buy that thing because I want a physical copy much more than I do the digital copy.
Yeah, Matt and I are kind of materialistic. So for those who are fine just purchasing all their games digitally, try to convince us, well, I don't know if you can, but try to convince us otherwise. You can do that by sending us an email at podcast@nintendofever.com or by tweeting us. Matt, what's your Twitter account?
My Twitter account is @onlymattdezen. And once again, guys, I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, both Mikes, actually. Thank you, Rose F. Death. And thank you, I can't think of his Twitter handle. The guy that named our segment.
Oh, Twitter handle, Blind Hostility.
Blind Hostility, yes, I knew it was a good one. Both of you guys, I love talking to you guys on Twitter. Thank you so much for hitting me up and letting me know that you guys are enjoying the show because we do this to interact and to talk and to hopefully have a good time. Thank you so much. But yeah, find me on Twitter @onlymattdezen.
Yep, and I am @HollyFelmuth, as usual. Probably will never change, so.
You should change it to @onlyHollyFelmuth and be cool like me.
That would not be too bad of an idea, but my name is so darn long.
It would make it that's the one thing about my last name. I was going to change my Twitter handle to @onlymatt, but there's already someone named @onlymatt, so I got to buy him out.
Darn that, Matt. All right, so thank you again for joining us on episode 13 of the podcast. We made it through episode 13. This is a miracle. No problems whatsoever.
No problems. Sorry, it's kind of a shorter one. Life is kind of doing this lifely thing. But I promise we're going to have a nice long, hour-long podcast because I enjoy them, even though Holly's always like, come on, let's get this done already.
45 minutes, happy medium. We usually mark it around that point anyway, so.
We do. We do a good job at that. But we will get a nice long one. And we have some big plans coming up. Next week, we're going to announce some giveaway stuff. I'm not going to give you any hints, or I probably shouldn't even have said that, but I'm just telling you that there is some cool things that we have coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to do, well, next week, Holly, what's next week?
Okay. Let me think. Three guesses?
No, one guess. You got this. I know you do.
Okay. There's a game coming out.
Yeah. A big game.
Let me think.
Everyone's excited.
It's the new Kirby game.
Nope, it's not. It's Splatoon!
Oh, of course, Splatoon.
Splatoon is coming out. We're going to have a big Splatoon blowout. I'm only going to have played it for probably 5 hours because I have to work all weekend, which really stinks. But I will do my darn best to play as many matches and do as much as I can because we are going to have a big Splatoon blowout. Please play it. Please let us know what you think about it. It comes out the 29th, so that means that you can play it on Friday. Write us an email. And we'll read it on Saturday.
Also, anyone on my friend list who I end up playing with, I'm going to do some shout-outs galore. So play with me on Splatoon as well. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Thanks again for listening to episode 13. And we will see you all next week. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.